Paul says, and I will not be a burden, for I seek not what is yours, but you. And then he goes down to verse 15. I will most gladly be spend and be spent for your souls. That should be the motto of every real preacher and every real believer. Like, I'm after you. I'm after your heart.
Hey, Veritas, this is Sam Anderson and Michael Rhodes, and you are listening to the Beyond the Message podcast. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning. Sam, I'm tempted every time that you give that. I want to give my own jingle after that every single time, but I know I shouldn't.
Anyways, here we go. Michael is great. We're continuing to march through 2 Corinthians. We're getting close to the end of...
I'm sorry. Did you say Michael is great? I don't know what you were saying there. It just said, you said, Michael is great.
I'm like, no, don't say that.
You're not great. It's great.
Okay, great.
That we're continuing to march through 2 Corinthians.
Okay.
And we're getting,
I felt a little gross there for just a second.
No, you're not great. God is great.
There you go. Sorry. I like
yeah.
it.
Yeah, awesome. So we're continuing to march through 2 Corinthians. It was great being in the Word with you yesterday.
Like
that's what I was trying to say. Main idea yesterday, Michael, so we were in 2 Corinthians 12, 11 through 21, and your main idea was real ministry is a gladly exhausting fatherly pursuit of another person's soul. And just opening up the text and walking through what that involved, coming straight out of those passages there. So as always in the podcast, Michael, if you were to include something else in your message or expand on something that you preached on, what would that be?
Well, as evidenced by my amount of time that I went over in all three services that I was allotted, I didn't leave a bunch out.
That's fair.
So I don't have like a ton of extra stuff. A couple things, that verse 14 and 15,
yeah,
where Paul says, and I will not be a burden, for I seek not what is yours, but you. And then he goes down to verse 15, I will most gladly be spend and be spent for your souls. Hmm. I was reading one commentator, A.T. Robinson, and he just said, that should be the motto of every real preacher.
Yeah.
And I just added in my own thoughts, like, and every real believer, like, I'm after you. I'm after your heart, and I'm going to be spent for your heart and your soul. And so just that idea of like, this should be the motto of our lives.
Yeah.
I'm for you, not what you can provide for me. I'm willing to be spent. I'm willing to spend and be spent for your souls.
I just see like the heart of the model prayer in that.
Yeah.
Like really it's what Christ has taught us to have the heartbeat of our life.
Yeah.
Like, your kingdom come, your will be done. Give me everything I need today to do everything you're calling me to do. I'm fully dependent upon you.
Absolutely. Because I think the context there is like Paul had – I may have mentioned this. I don't remember what service I mentioned this. But like Paul had spared them by delaying a visit. He had wrote a sorrowful letter, and his letter – and the letter's content was like gut-wrenching to them. Mm-hmm. So you have this guy that's experienced tremendous pain, and he's still saying – I want to come to you. I care about you. And it would be really easy for me to just throw up my hands at that point. I'm like, they don't care. This has been hard. I'm done.
Yep.
And so, yeah, I don't think I have a whole lot of extra there, except to say nobody should just crave confrontation and conflict. Like,
sure.
If that's what you're doing, you're missing the point of ministry too. Like, there should be a gladness and a joy to it. So don't crave it, but don't avoid it either.
Yeah, that was my the second to last week I taught deeper, and it was leading through conflict.
Sure.
And just the idea about conflict creates opportunities for God to be glorified.
Sure.
For you to help somebody else and yourself grow in Christ likeness and to long suffer. Like, really, it is that, like, you shouldn't just be out there like looking for a fight, but also you shouldn't be cowering in the corner.
Totally.
Like, lovingly confront so that God is glorified and that you help people to continue to grow in the grace and knowledge of Christ.
Sure. Yeah. Like after yesterday, my hope would not be that we would just have this army of confronters just because they're all just craving it, right?
Right.
But we would have a compassionate group of people that will confront sin when they see it because they love their church.
Yeah, that's sweet. I love that. Sweet. Okay, second question. What are ways to discern we're being gladly exhausted in the right context for the right godly reason?
Yeah, so I talked to somebody after the service yesterday, and they're like, I have some older adult kids that I've been pursuing. Like, how long do I pursue these relationships? How long do I keep this going? Like, because they're living on their own now. And I think of kind of two categories. I probably could have brought clarity to this yesterday. When he says this is for your upbuilding and he's speaking to the church, it seems that he's talking to the church here.
Yeah.
So he's talking about believers, talking to believers and not just evangelism. Because when I think of like, how long do you pursue the evangelist? Well, or as an evangelist, well, think of Luke 15. I referenced Luke 15 yesterday. Like, well, Jesus leaves the 99 to go after the one. But at some point in the story of the prodigal son, it's, you want your money, son? Well, I'm gonna let you have it. I'm not gonna chase you to the pigsty. I'm not gonna chase you in your wild escapades, but I'm gonna stand on the porch looking for you every day to come home. And so I think there's a point that comes in certain people's life, especially with the loss, that you go, I'm releasing you to the Lord. Like you, I can't control this. I can't fix this. Like you have to have a heart change. So that would be on the evangelistic side, pursuing the loss. Like, yes, there is a point that you're going to say, like, okay, I've got to let you go.
I mean, Jesus also instructs the disciples to shake the dust off their feet if people don't receive them. So it's like, totally. Look for people of peace. If you're not received, move on.
So really the context of this text is—
That sounded harsh. It's not—
No, I mean, but Jesus says kick the dust off your feet.
It's not a flippant, like, I don't care.
Correct,
like, which is, I get, like, with unbelieving children, like, there's a—
Correct.
—ongoing relationship
totally.
There. Different.
Yes.
But still.
Good clarification. Yeah. Yep. So in this context of this passage, you have Paul saying, I'm here for the upbuilding of you, the church in Corinth.
Yeah.
And so there's a process to go about that Jesus has given us in Matthew 18 of like, I think what I was trying to get across yesterday, and I think what Paul was trying to get across is, I'm willing to give it all up for you if I have to. Now, there may come a point where you continue in your unrepentant sin, and we walk through the Matthew 18 process where I've gone to you individually, I brought other people with me, I've brought it to the church, you continue to repent. And Paul would say in 1 Corinthians, like, don't even eat with that person. Like,
you continue to not repent.
Correct. Right? Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yes. Continue to not, did I say not sin?
Yeah. No, you said you continue to repent. It's like, no, the process is over. Well, that's what we want. You've gained your brother.
Yes.
We're good.
Yeah. You want to gain your brother. Yeah. But if they continue to be unrepentant, then you're going to have to say, no, we got to cut fellowship off with you because we want you to see that we care more about your eternity than we do about the relationship even in this moment.
Yeah.
But there's a process, and it shouldn't be a quick process to get to that point because Paul even demonstrates like, hey, I think I'm going to find you unrepentant, but I'm still coming to you.
Yeah.
But if we walk through Matthew 18 and take all of Scripture and how this speaks together, there will come a point where you're like, I have to stop.
Yeah.
I think probably the biggest question for you to ask yourself in those moments when you're trying to pursue this type of ministry is, why am I doing this?
Mm.
Why do I feel like I have to have this conversation? Why do I feel like I have to confront? Because what I don't want, like if it all revolves around you, I need to have this conversation to make my situation better. I need to have this conversation. So I was talking to somebody recently, a believer, having trouble with their parents, like because their parents just aren't, I think they would claim to be Christians but not really acting like it and feels like, oh, I have to, like, I feel like I always have to be the parent in the relationship.
Yeah.
And what I would say is, okay, do you want to go have the conversation because you're annoyed with the relationship and just want the relationship to be better? Are you annoyed with the situation because you're worried about the other person's soul?
Yeah.
And so just, why am I doing this? Am I doing this for myself? Because then it's going to get icky and hard and even harder.
Yeah.
And it's not going to be honoring to the Lord. And ultimately, that's what we want to do.
Yeah, that's good. I love that. All right, third question here. What is your encouragement for someone who heard this message yesterday and maybe they're sitting there and even before they left, just not stricken with grief, but convicted that they don't have anyone that they're currently pursuing for the sake of the gospel? So there's like, I don't even have a context for being gladly exhausted. Like, I'm just excited I'm going to meet Jesus when I die.
Sure.
What's your encouragement there?
I think even for you to say, like, I was kind of grieved. My hope would be if somebody was grieved by the Holy Spirit, just like Paul would say in 2 Corinthians 7, like, I went out to, like, make you grieve yesterday. But if you are grieved because of the Holy Spirit's conviction, praise God that right. His kindness is going to lead you to repentance. So just praise God, number one. Like, let your attention be drawn to the Lord. And then I would say, get into community. Like, if you're not in community, like, you can't do relationship. I mean, you can't do, like, ministry without relationships. Right. But if you have any type of relationship with any believer, then you can do ministry. But the further and deeper you get into those relationships, more ministry opportunities are going to be revealed. And so get into a class, sit at a table around more people, and then you hear something come up like, oh, I want to follow up on that conversation, not to necessarily confront, but, hey, I heard you say this. What did you mean by that? Like, start, like, getting around people, because you can't be an ambassador if you're not around people.
Yeah. That's probably the one thing. Sorry. As I look back just in the, you know, almost 10 years that I've been here, just the changes in our church. Like, one of the things that I miss about the Doubletree days was, I was like, if you were in, you were in. And, like, we didn't really necessarily have, like, a robust hospitality and greeter team, because everyone that was here were the greeters.
Sure.
It was very common for everybody before service and after service meeting people, asking them, like, where they're from, how can I pray for you? Just that, like, intentionality of that look around. I mean, you being cared for requires you caring for others mm-hmm. as well. Being in relationships, like, you can't live out the one another's of the New Testament with yourself.
Yeah, if you come into church every Sunday and leave and nobody talked to you, that could be everybody else's fault, but it may be on you
because sure.
you could have engaged in a conversation.
Yeah.
You could have met the person beside you as well. And so we often say, like, clarity is a two-way street. And I would say ministry can be a two-way street as well.
Absolutely. And that's the other thing too, I think, an encouragement just even for, like, our members, people in our church of – like, own that. Like, look around. Be asking people. Share your story. I don't know you. You're here. We're worshiping the same God together. Tell me about you. How can I pray for you? Like, I mean, that's a great avenue to open up a door to. It's not like you're going to end up intentionally discipling every single person you have that conversation with.
Sure.
But you might
sure.
end up with one really solid connection where you, like, gain a deeper appreciation for caring for this other person and their care for you, and it spurs you on in your faith and your walk with the Lord. Like, that's a great opportunity.
Sure. I think that question that you just asked, simply, like, how can I pray for you, will open up so many doors. And who, as a believer, is annoyed when somebody asks, how can I pray for you? I don't know anybody. If somebody asks me, how can I pray for you? I'm honored that somebody would go to the Lord on my behalf. Now, don't ask that question if you're not going to pray.
Right.
Like, don't
do it then.
Yeah.
Like, not later.
Yeah.
There. Well, in the moment.
Totally.
Let's pray.
Just pray for them.
Yeah.
But it'll give you a chance, like, oh, I met that person. We prayed together last week. Now, if I see him again the following Sunday, I'm starting a relationship. Who knows what may turn out of that?
Yeah. Yeah. That's sweet. Great. Sorry, my computer just shut off on me. There we go. All right. We do have a listener question here. I'm forgetting exactly. I think this was a couple of weeks back, so I don't know the exact message that this kind of follow-up came from, but okay. I think it applies. So this listener wrote in, said, we often speak of thinking about the future as the motivation to change behavior and live the new life. Is there not a living presence of the Spirit now? And is he not the only one who can empower us to live this new life? It's my understanding that any work I do is soiled. My job is to cry out for his help and be willing to follow. So, kind of the question there of, like, how do we think about change now, the Spirit's work, our responsibility? What does that look like?
I think when I see this question, I go, man, I'm so thankful that we have people in our church thinking in a mature way like this.
Yeah.
One, they're testing the things that we say. They're not just taking our word.
Yeah.
And what a mature question. Like, that's a great question. Good job. I know who it is. I'm not going to say it, but good job. so we often think of we speak of thinking of the future as the motivation to change behavior and live the new life. So how does that work together with the Spirit? I would say we never want to rely on just a future hope. Like, yeah. That can fuel us. That can give us great hope, yeah. Right? So keep your eyes looking forward to the future. Don't just keep them down on what's going on right now. But never keep your eyes looking forward apart from the Spirit, right? Because the Spirit absolutely is the living presence of God that indwells a believer. Mm-hmm. Oh, what just saying that out loud, right. It's amazing that the Spirit of God would dwell inside me. Just apart from Jesus, that's amazing. But I think you have this battle between the Spirit and the flesh that's often talked about in Scripture. We don't have the ability to even think about the future, to think about our eternity with the Lord in His presence, apart from the Spirit's help. So there's no way that you can even consider eternity with the Lord apart from the Spirit putting that on you. Because in the flesh, you're just going to focus on what's here and now, what's right before you. And so I think look to the future, let it be fuel, but the Spirit has to be the one that convicts and empowers and comforts and does all that present work now. So yes, don't ever just depend on the future for change now. That's not going to work.
Yeah, absolutely. That's great. So the answer, yes, both
yeah, and. Totally.
We're like the motivation isn't disconnected from reliance on the Spirit now.
Correct.
Like it's not just this moral therapeutic deism, pull yourself up by the bootstraps and live the changed life. Yeah. Like it's all the Spirit.
Like, yeah, because if you're saying like, oh, I want to change so bad, the only way I'm going to change is if I think about eternity more.
Nope.
Burn. You're wrong. Yeah. That's what my like 4-year-old used to say. Like, you're wrong. So anyway, you need the Spirit, but don't keep your eyes on the earth.
Sweet. All right. Church, we love that. Again, if you have a question that you want us to address on this podcast, whether it's something that's just coming up in your Bible reading or from a Sunday message or in a class or just a theological topic or something that's happening in the world that you want us to talk about, we'd love to continue to have the honor to chat about that and give some insight. And maybe sometimes our answers spur on other questions, and I think that's great to be able to do that. Sure. So we've got an opportunity to submit those questions either through the link in the Connection Group questions email or on the digital program. Make sure that you do that there. We'd love to continue to get those questions. And just a reminder again, Michael, your big idea yesterday, real ministry is a gladly exhausting fatherly pursuit of another person's soul. And what a joy that is that the God of the universe would invite us into that.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome. All right, church, join us again next week for another episode of Beyond the Message.